the First Peter chapter 1.
Amen.
First Peter chapter 1. I'm going to talk about the believer's hope today. A few years ago, I was riding around with my dad, and we did that quite often. I'd go home to see my dad, and we'd ride around and talk about the Lord and about things and about people. And we went by an old cemetery, and on this cemetery there was a post by one grave with a cell phone with a telephone with a cord on it, and nobody ever called while I was there. But it was not a picture of hope at all. But anyway, we're going to talk about real hope this morning. 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's go to verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, same chapter, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for your presence. I pray that you'll anoint your servant to speak the truth of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The word hope here does not imply wishfulness, but it means rather a dynamic confidence that does not end in life but continues throughout eternity. Philippians 1:6 says we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about just a temporary hope, even though God gives us hope now, but also God gives us hope, a continuing hope, and God gives us an eternal hope. So I want to concentrate on that today, the believer's hope. And the believer's hope is a present hope. And we've been begotten again into a living hope here, verse 3. We've been birthed, born into a hope. Amen. I know that we're born naturally, but we're born spiritually into an eternal hope. Eternal life, eternal grace. So as God's not temporary, Jesus wasn't temporary, salvation is not temporary, it's eternal. So we have hope, eternal hope, praise the Lord. But we need hope right now, we need present hope. And it rests upon grace. According to his mercy, he begat us again to a living hope. And so all we have from God is an act of his grace. God didn't owe us anything. God wasn't prompted by somebody to show us mercy. God chose to, of his character of grace, unmerited favor. And we have from God as an act of his grace. The reason we don't have to have the fear of death and hell is because of God's grace. We don't have to worry about eternal rejection because it's an act of his grace. His grace gives us acceptance. It gives us forgiveness. It gives us eternal life. It gives us hope now and forever. Grace of God brings us from empty to full, from lost to save, from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Man, praise God. And it's also called a living hope, and called here an imperishable hope, and because it doesn't perish. Other hopes fade like withering flowers. The hopes of the rich, the boast of the proud, all these will die. Things that we own, things that we have, houses, automobiles, I don't care how it's painted up. Money, even our bodies wear out. But God doesn't wear out, and His grace didn't wear out. And the hope that He gives doesn't wear out. Praise God. A number of years ago, communism and socialism took over the Soviet Union. And it was said that communism and socialism was the working man's dream. But it turned out to be the working man's nightmare. Under the Russian leader, Lenin, he murdered, tortured, and killed thousands of innocent people and turned a deaf ear to their cries for mercy. He didn't give hope to those people. He died in 1924, probably been in hell since then. But he didn't give any hope. But our hope is a present hope. The only imperishable hope that is that which climbs above the stars and fixes itself on the throne of God and the person of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us there that Hebrews chapter 12, I believe. It says, therefore, since we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have a present help because Jesus, our Creator, our Savior, He is seated at the Father's right hand. And the reason He's seated, the reason He's set down at the Father's right hand is because He finished the work of redemption, poured out His soul into death, shed His blood, paid the death penalty for our sins. And so He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so, thank God, we have a present help because we have a high priest who is passed into the heavens and is seated at the God's right hand. And so it's a present hope. Use this for an illustration, the Apostle Paul. He suffered shipwreck, not spiritually, but in the natural. And he was on his way to Rome. And he had been testified and prophesied that he would testify of Jesus in both Rome and Jerusalem. But on the sea, it grew tempestuous and seemed like shipwreck without hope for this crew, which Paul was a part of. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 20 says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no tempest beat upon us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. It meant that hope was gone. Surely those experienced sailors knew that this was the end. The ship was going to wreck and they were going to all die. But through the Holy Spirit, the apostle speaks and he says, now I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve. He assured me there will be no loss of life. Scholars believe that all the sailors aboard that ship gave their hearts to Jesus. We don't know, but they survived the storm. And so to them, Jesus was a present hope. Praise God. He wasn't absent in the storm. Can I tell you today, friend, Jesus is still present hope. Whatever you're facing, whatever you may be going through, whatever happens in your life, you don't have to worry about being alone. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You can be know that He's a present Savior, a present Jesus, not a past Jesus, not something that's happened to somebody else. My friend, right now, He is present and giving you a present hope. And Him is God. He's a present hope to the sinner. People without Christ. Paul went to Ephesus and he spoke to the church in Ephesus and he says, at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers in covenants, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's Ephesians 2:12. And so when Paul preached at Ephesus, he was preaching to people that didn't have any hope. They didn't have hope in the government. They didn't have hope in what was happening around them. They didn't have hope in anybody. They just didn't have any hope. It says here, they're in a world without God and no hope. That would be a sad place to be, to know that it's all just, you know, you live for a few years and you get sick and die and that's it. No, we have hope because God gave us hope, and it is a present hope, not a past hope, but a present hope. In church, our hope is fixed on what is not fixed on what we can achieve. Hope is not the latest technology. Hope is not all of our income. Hope is not our success, but upon the promises of God's word, it is a present hope. In our text there, 1 Peter 1:3, therefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's telling us here, rest your hope fully upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't place your hope in things. Amen. He's not saying it's wrong to have stuff or have money. He's not saying that. But he is saying your real hope and your full hope is upon what God has done and at the revelation, rapture of Jesus Christ and the promises of eternal life. So it is a continuing hope. And that hope rests fully upon the grace of God. Amen. He's a living and a present hope, but he is a continuing hope. Let's look at that for a moment. A hope that we have, the believer's hope, is a continuing hope. It's not a hope that this happens today, but tomorrow, you know, all hope's gone to this. I'm sure this has been used in 1,000 sermon illustrations, but I want to use it again. Just outside of town here, 10 miles away, it's a historical marker there. As a church was founded out there in a little town, little community called Little Hope. And it is a mark that has been there for over 100 years, but it was named Little Hope because there was little hope that it would exist more than a year. And so there's a church there called Little Hope Baptist Church. Interesting enough, it's right across the street from Little Hope Cemetery. Well, friend, I thank you the day that we have a lot of hope. God bless them. And we have a wonderful hope. But one of the 12 disciples, Judas, he put his hope that Jesus would somehow deliver Israel from Roman oppression. And I believe that's why one reason that Judas backslid and turned away from God. He was one of the 12 disciples, been used powerfully of God to heal the sick, and God imparted to him spirit to heal the sick and to do those things that the other disciples did. But somewhere or another, he didn't have a continuing or an enduring hope. His hope that it was God, that Jesus was a great military leader that would deliver them from Roman oppression. But as Judas's hope faded and didn't endure, he would betray his Lord for 30 pieces of silver because his hope was in money. And after a while, he realized money didn't make him anything, and he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and went out and hung himself. He didn't have a continuing, enduring hope. But real hope comes from God. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. And so we know that God, by His Holy Spirit, gives us that continual enduring hope that it doesn't fade away. Whatever may have happened in your life may be discouraging, may be depressing, and people here no doubt have been through awful things in their life, and we wonder how they got through it and how they're still living for God today. I can tell you God's grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. There's not going to be come up to Him to something that's too big for Him or too great for Him. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He's able to help you and to walk you through whatever life offers to you. My friend, you don't need to be discouraged. You have an enduring hope as long as your hope is in Christ. Our hope is the fact that we are continually loved by God, cared for by our God, encouraged as we are filled by this Holy Spirit. And the Bible does tell us to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunken with wine, in which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things." It's a continual thing, being filled and refilled with God's Spirit. That's the reason you need to come to church. That's the reason you need to pray. The reason you need to read your Bible. The reason you need to stay in tune and in touch with God so you'll be victorious and not lose sight of this great hope that God has given. The Lord. So it's a continuing and an enduring hope. Thirdly, it is an eternal hope. Praise God. God doesn't just leave us in a place where that, you know, maybe something better will happen someday. But through His infallible, inspired Word, He tells us that our hope is eternal. And speaking to the church at Corinth, the writer says, verse 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If in this life only we have hope, we are of all the men most pitiable or miserable. If it's all just about going to church, and if all it's just about singing hymns and talking and shaking hands and food and fun and fellowship, if that's all it is, but that's not all it is, friend. If in this life, all that's good, but if in this life if only we have hope, we're just miserable. We're wasting our time." But I want to tell you this morning, you're not wasting your time. You're doing the right thing. You're serving God. You're worshiping Him, which we were created to do. And my friend, we have a continuing hope. We're not looking for this world to answer all of our problems, or this government to answer all of our problems. We're looking for the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to return in power and glory and set up His kingdom and reign for 1,000 years of peace. Hallelujah. So it's an eternal hope. Our hope is not in elected officials, not in sports figures, not upon economic prosperity, but upon Christ. When I was in college, I was parking cars at a fancy restaurant. I wasn't fancy, but the restaurant was, and its prices were. I didn't ever eat there because I couldn't afford it. But most of the time, we had parked people's cars, and they were high-class people, and usually when they come out and got their car and you drove it up for them, they'd give you a dollar tip. And so if you could make $30 or $40 in that time, that was in the 70s, that was pretty good. And you could help pay your bill and help buy some food on the way home and pretty much a little bit of gas, and you're pretty well broke by the time you got home. That's just the way life went. But our hope is not upon what we have, upon our economic prosperity, but on Christ. Colossians 1:5 says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." My friend, your hope is eternal. It's laid up for you in heaven. You know, we'll say, "Well, preacher, you know, what do we do till we get there?" My friend, you just hang on to the promise of Jesus, because He said in His Word, "I'm going to give you hope now, hope as it goes along, and hope forever." A hope that does not change, praise God, because God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I do not change." God doesn't need to change. He's right always. His Word doesn't change. People try to change it, but God's Word doesn't change. Numbers 23:19, the Word of God says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. He has said, will He not do? Or has He spoken, will He not make it good?" You can trust God's Word, because God's promises are eternal. Praise the Lord. And He gives us an eternal hope. The Bible says, Titus 2:13, we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from every lawless deed. My friend, you've got an eternal hope in Christ. 1 Peter 1:20 says, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Amen. So, friend, we have faith. We have eternal hope in God. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence of God behind the veil, not swayed back and forth by our false unbiblical teaching that arises. And there's plenty of them out there. There are thin, unbiblical teachers that arise. But I want to tell you something. We need to have a hope that's full and steadfast, built upon Christ, a solid rock, not upon somebody's latest idea or latest false interpretation of Scripture. But my friend, our hope is in what God said in His Word. It's a living hope. My friend, reminds me of the old song that says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My friend, will stand upon Christ, the rock of our salvation. And if we'll hold to Him, friend, our hope is eternal. Hope now, continuing hope, and eternal hope. God did all this for you because He loves you and cares for you. And we can anchor to faith in our risen Savior. Love Him, serve Him, hold fast to Him. Don't let go. Don't fool around with some other idea that mankind can come up with. Stay with the Word of God. He tells you what hope really is. The believer's hope. Praise God.